Weightlifting is a serious sport.
Weightlifting is a serious sport. You motherfuckers need to take it seriously. Stop joking.
Yeah. I don't even know why they bother training if they're not going to just be serious about the sport.
If you're not willing to compete, you need to fuck off.
What if you're not willing to put your whole life
on hold?
On hold just to weightlift. Then, like, there's no point, right?
Then go and join fucking ping pong league.
No, I feel like ping pong, you also need to do the same thing. I think if you are just going to recreationally exercise...
Go join F45.
Then, no, there's nothing wrong with F45. But yeah, you probably want to go to F45. Or you could do CrossFit. The problem
CrossFit.
Is... Yeah, CrossFit, yeah. But the problem is
that... And a full-time membership to physio.
Weightlifting. Like, people think that you have to be a full-time weightlifter to weightlift.
Correct.
You don't need that.
False.
You can just, like, go to work.
No.
Then finish work. Come to the gym and have fun.
You can't.
What? That's the premise of Raw Barbell Club is based on that. Like, we don't have anyone that's going to the Olympics. We don't have anyone that's going to the Commonwealth Games.
Close the gym.
So you think that we shouldn't...
Yeah. Wasting your time.
All right.
No,
hey,
I'm
guys.
Kidding, obviously.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Raw Barbell Club podcast. We're back finally after our hiatus. This is season two.
Season two.
And in the as same always, season. Our first guest of the season. I think that's what we're going to do. The first time we air a new season, you're going to be the first guest.
Yeah, well, I was the first guest.
Ever.
Ever.
Mm. Some would say the first and hopefully never again. That's what
you're probably sick of hearing my voice.
But I'm with Yannick Mifsud, the head coach of Shred Barbell Club. Supersonic. How are you doing today?
Really good. Really good. It's spring, the sun's shining, so I'm happy.
How good is the weather?
I love this weather. It makes me excited to train, to work, to everything.
And how are you finding daylight savings?
Amazing.
Really?
Yep. Love it.
Really?
Yes.
So,
why?
For those that, you know, don't have to deal with daylight savings, I'm sure there's people all over the world that listen to this podcast.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Although Queensland don't deal with it.
Queensland also don't deal with it. So, if you're a Queenslander and you listen to this podcast,
yep.
You don't know what daylight savings is.
No.
Can you explain to the people at home what daylight savings is?
Sure. So we change our clock an hour forward in the springtime for 6 months through summertime so that we get an extra hour of sunlight.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Daylight savings.
And so
you feel jet lagged for the first week.
I think you feel jet lagged for the first month.
Yeah.
Because what people don't realize is, yes, you get to, you know, that means at 8 o'clock, the sun is still out.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Right? But for those that already wake up earlier, it means you have to wake up fucking earlier.
Yeah, way earlier.
So I open the gym at 6 o'clock, that means that the gym is actually opening up. At 5 o'clock.
Yes. So my first day of daylight savings, I had a really late night. Just, you know, being silly and playing FIFA and stuff. And my son didn't sleep a whole lot. And then I had to get up an hour early for a competition on Sunday. And I feel like I haven't recovered since.
Yeah. I think that's the same thing for us because we were also at the same competition.
Yes.
And actually, that wasn't the one I lifted at, was it?
Yes.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, it was last week?
Yeah.
And that's why this whole week's felt shitty.
Yep. Oh. And now we have... Well, then we just had Raw Barbell's first competition.
Well, that's, you know... Well, let's quickly talk about the Bundesliga first because that was a lot of fun.
It was, yep.
All right, so... For those, again, that are not in Sydney or, you know, have their head shoved underneath the floor.
Somewhere.
Under a rock. I don't know what the actual euphemism is, but...
You haven't been paying attention.
You haven't been paying attention. No. A gym called Odd Socks, however you pronounce it, weightlifting.
Arthrophily.
Arthrophily. I go through this every single week because it comes up somehow. Yeah. They run this competition called the Bundesliga, which is a team competition. So it's almost like melding weightlifting and
team sport
together. And
I believe they do this in Europe.
Okay, that's where they've got the idea from.
I think so.
Because Bundesliga is what they call the Federal League of Soccer in
Germany. Yes, and many sports.
Mm. I actually pretty sure Bundesliga just means Federal League. Yeah, so they could have just called their competition Odd Sox Team Weightlifting, and Federal it would have League. Probably been better.
Mm.
But we're not talking about the name because we already know that Pete and Steve name stuff funny.
Yes.
As they name their gym the Odd French Sox. Word for weightlifting, which is
halterophily,
which no one can really pronounce well except for Pete. And which French I think people. He does on purpose because he likes to get a rise out of me.
I think so, yeah, definitely. Was fun comp, very fast paced. Very different if you're used to a weightlifting comp, that's for sure, like a normal weightlifting comp.
So
I actually struggled a little bit.
Same thing as me. So in the past, I've just coached those comps.
Mm.
And coaching those comps is very easy because there's no jockeying for places. There's no chess game, right?
No.
But, playing around. You know, competing, there's actually just no time.
No, zero time. so very fast paced. Took a while for me to deal with that. Clean and jerked well. Snatched not so well.
What did you end up snatching?
100 hundos. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Crappy.
Mm.
Clean and jerk.
PR.
130. Competition PR.
Competition yes. PR.
So that was good. I did it with Team 2147.
Who are they? So
shout out 2147, Lady and Matt Cito's CrossFit Gym in Seven Hills.
Oh, that sounds like a really cool name for a CrossFit gym. Mm. Is that their postcode?
Correct.
Ah.
So that was fun.
It's always very fun when people name their gyms after their postcode. What if they move?
They change it.
Change the postcode. I'm just kidding. I bag out Lady and Matt all the time about that.
Yeah, we love Lady and Matt. So Lady's one of my lifters. And I jumped in, support their team. It was a lot of fun. We had, I believe, two of their other lift. No, I think... all three of them, actually, was their first weightlifting competition. Deacon, young Deacon, who lifted really well, like a seasoned veteran.
Speaking of Matt, he just messaged me.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, it's like he's...
Hey, Matt Cito, you're also being mentioned in a podcast right now.
Yeah.
So I hope you also listen. And it was, I think, Matt's first competition.
Mm, he did well.
Yes.
Because he's had a lot of time off due to some injuries that he's been dealing with.
Which anatomy of training have been fixing. Yeah. Competition, fast-paced. I think they got the final this weekend. Mm. Pretty cool.
How good did Little Deacon do? Amazing. How good did Jen do?
Amazing.
She killed it as well.
Yes, that was awesome. Awesome to be a part of. So thank you for allowing me to be part of your team, Matt and Lady.
All right. So let's move on. This week. The most exciting thing that has ever happened to weightlifting happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Raw Barbell's first competition.
Raw Barbell Club's first ever open competition.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we had to reject some lifters from Russia.
Yeah. Well,
China. We had to. They're banned now.
Yeah. They heard that we were running a competition and there was just so many people that wanted to come in, but... you know, we just couldn't let them. There's too many people that, you know, would ruin the vibe.
Yeah, we kind of banned lifters at our competition.
Yeah, well, you know what? Ilya called. I was like, Ilya, look.
You know the rules, bro.
Yeah, if this was just some other competition, maybe like a CrossFit comp, I'd let you in.
Mm, yeah.
But, you know, we test here.
Yeah, we test.
We, you know, you're on the ban list. I'm sorry, man. Like, this is no... like, I hope this doesn't ruin our relationship.
Well, he has to understand.
Yeah. I mean, the other problem was I actually don't have enough weights for him to lift. So if he wanted to lift at our gym, Like, no one else could lift at the same time.
You're going to have to keep it, like, 70%, bro.
No, I don't think there's enough for a 70%.
40%.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle snatch, that's all you got.
That's all he can do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, guys, we had our first weightlifting competition. So, I just wanted to give a big shout-out to Linda Eads for, you know, making my life so easy. Like, there really wasn't much I needed to do. She sent me an email. Well, she sent everyone an email saying, hey, look, a couple of other clubs have pulled out of running these weightlifting comps. Do you want to run one? And I said, you know, what's involved? Like, what do I need to do?
Yep.
And then she,
necessary equipment. Yeah, so shout out to Linda Eads and I suppose New South Wales Weightlifting.
Yeah. They really did so much. Like, they brought all the equipment, projectors. Linda even came out to our gym on Wednesday just to make sure everything was up to scratch.
That's cool.
She sort of measured out. Like, I told her where I wanted to do things because obviously we don't have, you know, this is our first competition. We don't have all the resources that, you know, you'd like.
Yep.
So, she came in, right?
Yeah. It's a learning curve.
That's it. She even bought the tape to mark out the platform for us.
That's cool. So yeah, Linda's a champion.
She did everything.
She definitely holds a lot of this stuff together, which is awesome.
Yeah. She's the glue that holds the weightlifting together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Shout out, Linda. Looking forward to coaching you a couple weeks' time.
Oh, at Masters.
Yes.
Because that you tell us about that. That's pretty cool. You got named as one of the coaches.
Yep, with champion Pete Upham. We will be coaching the New South Wales Masters, the Masters Championships, and Pacific Rim. So that's exciting. Lots of lifters to be taken care of and hopefully help them on their way to some good performances on the platform. So, yeah, very exciting.
Do you know how many athletes are competing?
Oh, in total, there's 38 lifters that me and Pete will be coaching.
Yeah.
Alone. So 38, me and Pete will be coaching over the 4 days. So a lot of work. It's well over 100.
Wow. And how many sessions are they running?
I need to double check. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's 4 days of competition.
Wow. It's going to be fun. And this is the first time ever. And
double platform.
Double platform. That's double what I was just going to say. So do you know how that's going to run?
So obviously it's Masters Nationals or Masters Championships and the Pacific Rim happening at the same time. One platform is going to be for each competition at the same time. So the lifters need to know which competition they're part of and which they're lifting for.
So what if they're in both?
I assume that they then go on to the Pacific Rim.
So they lift twice?
No, lift once, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know how it was going to run. Because I did see that they are running two different sessions.
Yeah, correct. So two platforms.
So obviously, if you guys follow us on Instagram, you know we have a lifter named Bo. Mm-hmm. He is the heart and soul of Raw Barbell Club.
Amazing.
He's Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. And that's not just because he's Asian. It's because he's really cool and wise.
He is wise.
But, he's competing. He's super excited. His whole life right now is weightlifting.
That's cool.
He told me today that he wants to do double days. And, you know, he's taking it seriously.
That's good.
And you know what? I'm really proud of Bo because he's done so much lately to improve his lifting.
Yeah.
And once that all, you know, starts showing, I think everyone will be really impressed.
From when I first saw Bo lift to now, it just improves out of sight. It's really cool. So two platforms, that's going to be cool. Testing for us coaches, I think, as well. That could be testing for us. That's going to be new for me. I'm going to assume it's new for Pete.
I think it's going to be new for any of the coaches in Australia.
Correct, yes.
No one's used to that.
No, I don't think so. And, that's going to be fun. Big competition. So it's big. It's like at a pretty cool venue, over at one of the big hotels there. Friday morning, like super early, getting out there from the airport straight to competition to coach my first session. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. Anyway, back to your competition.
Yeah. So I guess there's a few more things we want to talk about our competition, which was last weekend, and we'll talk about Masters when it happens.
Yep.
But what's really cool is all the people that came down, helped out. So first off, everyone from our club, in particular Kayla and Alex, who got prizes, then Claire and Karen and Ree, who, you know, baked food for the event. Obviously my dad, Kush's dad, and everyone else who, you know, was on the barbecue and helped out. And then Andrew Pineda from Lift Performance Center, John from Inner West Barbell.
John Zelenyak.
Yeah.
One of my faves.
Yeah, the probably one of the top MCs in the world.
Yeah, he should be earning the dollars that the guy from boxing earns.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah.
But sorry, dude, you've chosen the wrong sport. We just don't have that money.
And then Kathy and Pete as well from Odd Socks. Thanks so much for helping out. Like, these comps don't run without people like you guys.
Yep.
And then also thank you to Vu and all the guys from 365.
Vu, what a do.
And thank you, Yannick, for bringing your lifters down.
No, thank you for having us. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is congratulations to Vu and his lifters. He did a really good job coaching. I did see one of his posts recently that it's his first time coaching that many people, and quite a few of them were new, first competition. He did really well, and all of the lifters did well, and a couple that I saw a few months ago lifting, like, he's obviously doing a really good job out there.
Cause oh, my God.
Like, so much stronger.
Did you see, obviously, Emilio, Nathan, and I forgot who else was, like, experienced. I'm blanking. But then the rest of his lifters were brand new.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you like, again, like, I've lifted with the 365 crew twice now. And I watch them pretty closely on Instagram because it's Vu's gym and I love Vu. But, you know, like, their technique, their strength, like, he's done so well.
Yeah, he has.
And I think he's slowly converting that gym into, like, a pure weightlifting gym almost.
Let's hope so.
Because, yeah, like, some of those lifters, like, they're going to be breaking records.
Yeah.
I think there were some records broken. But they're going to be the
ladies,
more.
Yeah, the ladies broke some records. That was cool. Yeah, so that was a really fun day. A couple highlights. Turning my vehicle into a sauna for Wayne, who had to cut 500 grams
before
Wayne.
I think we need to talk a little bit about Wayne. Because let's talk about his training leading up to this competition. Let's talk about his performance. Let's talk about his waist.
Yeah.
Tell me what's been going on with Wayne.
Old mate Wayne. The class clown, Wayne. Look, Wayne's probably just been a little bit distracted with training lately. Doing my best to help him with that. And, you know, he's done some PBs in training despite the fact he hasn't been training a lot. And I think... I'm going to come to the conclusion he got a little bit complacent and thought that, you know, PBs just happen. You know, just like some magic fairy taps you on the shoulder and says PB. And that didn't happen this competition. In fact, it wasn't his best comp. And I think and I hope that that was a really good eye-opener for him and he knuckles down now. And it all started from not weighing in. He's had a couple of easy weight cuts where, like, the weight just fell off. And I think he didn't check his weight properly. And, yeah, he didn't weigh in. So 500 grams over. We got him under with some sprints and some, you know, in the car saunering.
Yeah.
So that was cool. We got him there. So the competition started well for Shred Barbell Club. Yeah, so that was one of my highlights of the competition. That was fun.
You're making Wayne lose weight.
Yeah.
At Wayne. Last time I remember, it was actually Verity that had to cut weight.
Yes, Verity had to cut weight, running in the car park.
Yeah.
Showering.
So it's actually just the Park family.
It must be the Park family. So she made weight easy this time.
Mm.
We've been doing some technique work with her. So I didn't expect any big numbers from her. But what I was impressed was, especially her openers were very
that solid. Opening snatch mm. that I saw her do, like, I've never seen her jump under the bar like that before.
No, it was good.
So I can, you know, mad props, Verity. Like, you're improving.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah, another highlight of the comp. And the Park family coming third together again.
Mm. Well, runs in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not making weight and coming third.
Pretty good.
Getting medals together. That's cool. And then, obviously, my next highlight would probably be a competition PB for me.
The snatch? Oh, the total.
Total. Snatch and total.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what? Tell us about your first snatch, because that was shithouse.
So, yeah, warming up, Josh Wu, thank you for coaching me.
The Josh Wu coached you?
The Josh Wu, yeah. I was very lucky.
Yeah.
Do
you talk to him afterwards? How did you feel about an award being named after him?
I don't know. We didn't discuss that, actually. I'll ask him today for you.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm seeing Josh again today. Yeah, so warm-ups. So, actually, let's start from the week. Snatches were horrible all week. Like, I just couldn't hit a snatch above 85% for some strange reason. So I was going into this competition absolutely packing it.
Yeah.
It was a pretty heavy week for me. I didn't really taper for this comp at all. Actually, no, not I didn't really. I didn't taper at all for this comp. All I did was rest Friday. So I didn't do any training on Friday. Did some stretching, empty bar snatches, just to feel good.
Yeah.
Warm up, start warming up, and everything just felt good again. I was like, okay, we're on here. This is good.
So the PB fairy tapped you on the shoulder.
Fairy tapped me on the shoulder. And I started lifting, snatches really well. Did a really thorough warm up. So the plan was, let's see if we can open on 105. And this is my fault. Yeah. I snatched 100 in the back really well and was like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And then, like, last second, just like, okay, I'll change open to 105. And I'm like, yep, no, just no, packed it. I don't know what happened. I just, yeah, became like, I just got scared. Didn't want to miss. And in reality, yeah, I just need to suck it up and just open on 105. Our plan, we discussed this earlier in the year, was to stop missing my first snatch because that was like a real big
problem
for me.
Yeah.
So I've gone this whole year, I think I've only, since Oz Open, where I bombed out, I haven't.
Sorry, I don't know why I laughed.
I haven't missed my first snatch since, and I've done a lot of comps since then.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good, it's worked. And anyway, so I packed it, said nope. Leave it 100.
Well, not only did you not miss your first, you didn't miss your second or third.
Correct. 3 out of 3.
Mm, that's a first.
Second.
Oh, it is a second? You've done it once before? Yeah,
qualifying for nationals, I went 3 from 3. Anyway, so go out to the platform. And look, from the start, I knew I had this snatch. I was like, nah, I'm not missing this. It's fine. And I get under it. Actually, not even under it. So, like, moving into the third pull, I knew straight away. This was what's going through my head. Yep, light from the floor, third pull. Oh, shit. I knew straight away that I'd over-pulled this bar, like, way too far. So I, like, tried to catch it pretty high, and I caught it high, and then I, like, rocked back on my heels to save this snatch, and, like, shoulders well extended, pull the bar back in front, rock back on the heels again and stand up.
Yeah, it didn't look pretty. But then, the second and third one, they were mint.
Yeah, second snatch, 105, just crisp.
Mm.
Just caught it, stood up. And then 108.
Which is snatch, a competition PB.
Which was a competition PB. And I did feel like that was the best snatch of the day. Like, for me.
Yeah.
Not taking any snatches away from anyone else. Definitely the best snatch for me. And it was the heaviest one. And it felt really light, actually. Mm. It felt easy. So I'm not allowing myself to not open on 105 now.
Fair enough.
Cool.
Tell us about your clean and jerks.
Clean and jerks. Just complacent, I think. You know, you snatch well and you just think going into clean and jerks that you're having a good day. And instead of putting that 100% effort in, I was a little bit lazy.
Yeah.
So I did stand up with my 125 opener, but judges ruled a little bit of a soft elbow. Coming together. Chris, 125, second attempt, and then we went for 132 to try to get a 240 total, which is definitely within my means. And Yeah, I just I think I got a little bit I just rushed the drive a little bit, so I didn't get the bar as high as I could have. I did catch it, but wasn't able to stand up with 132.
Hmm. Yeah, it looked pretty close, but like, yeah, I guess your 130 last week, like the weekend before, was already a PR.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess sometimes you can't get a PR every week.
No, that's true.
But I think Memorial Day would be good, especially if you actually taper and stuff, right?
No.
Oh, you're not doing Memorial Day?
I'm not doing Memorial
Day. Oh, damn, I just forgot about that. So tell us what you did.
Yeah, so like, you know, all excited, comp PB, and I get home like, all right, let's register for my next comp, because registration closes today.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm doing so, my like internet was just playing up, I don't know, and I just got distracted. Like, it was just...
So Yannick, what you're telling us is that you can't follow the rules.
Pretty much. Yep.
So you missed the deadline.
Okay, so look, I'm really on top of all my lifters. Have you registered? Have you registered? Hey, register. Like, I'm probably so annoying. I needed someone doing that to me because, I missed registration. So now I'll probably be loading. actually, and coaching. I'll be coaching Deacon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, big things coming. We'll wait till then. I'm not jinxing anything. But
no, don't have to. But, you know, he's improved a lot as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a great little youth lifter.
Yes, Lady.
And he's a youth, right? Like, he's not a junior. Yeah.
Lady and Matt are doing some really good things with him over there. And
glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, but glad to be a part of it. Shred Barber Club's glad to be a part of it. And yeah, glad to help him out with that.
It's really cool, I think, the setup you have with Lady and Matt, how you guys are, like, you know, it shows that it's not just about, you know, making money, having gyms that are local that compete against each other. Like,
Yeah, look, I think, like, you know, I'm going to start a debate here, but I think a lot of gyms can learn from that. Yeah. You don't need to be, like, competition and, you know, hating on each other, man. Like, it's...
Well, you have your strengths and they have their strengths, and obviously your passion is weightlifting, their passion is CrossFit.
Correct.
Like, when Lady wants some help with the weightlifting, she'll come to you.
Mm.
And the other day, I'm pretty sure you went over there and did some CrossFit.
I did the CrossFits.
How did that go for you?
Not well.
I saw a picture, but I didn't actually know what workout you did.
I was on fire for about 7 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty long.
It is for a weightlifter, but for everyone knows that for a CrossFitter, like, they've just started. They're just started. They're like, they've just, like, tipped into third gear. They've got a long way to go.
Mm.
So yeah, about 7 minutes, 8 minutes in, and I just crashed. I had nothing left. I couldn't even like do a freaking wall ball properly. Like, that was embarrassing.
Can you get to death?
Yeah, I could get to death. It was standing up with like a freaking 12-kilo ball. Yeah, sure. I squatted like 170 kilos, but I couldn't stand up with a 12-kilo ball properly. No, yeah, like that was, it was fun though. Like, I enjoyed, like, you know, just being a part of what Lady's other passion is. That was cool.
Mm. Yeah, that's really cool. What else did we have to talk about today? It was that. We talked about the comp. We talked about Masters.
You did mention you wanted to talk to me about being a dad.
I did mention that.
And lifting.
Yeah, well, that's actually the big thing I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
Because you have now been a dad for just over 1 year.
A year and a half. He's a year and a half.
Yeah. To one of the cutest kids I've ever met.
Mm.
His name is Kai.
Yep.
So obviously you won't be able to find him on social because he's a child.
He's a child.
And doesn't have Instagram.
Yeah, he's not swiping right yet.
But you know what? He'd probably get a lot of right swipes.
He doesn't need to swipe.
He's just that cool.
People will be swiping for him.
Cool little cucumber. But yeah, you have this kid.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Because
ball of energy. Like, he's just it's out of control.
The midnight terror. Tell me what it's like to be a new dad trying to balance coaching, lifting.
Yep.
And obviously owning a business, and I'm sure, you know, a whole bunch of other things as well. You have a dog too, so.
I do have a dog.
I'm sure that adds to the
mix. I have a dog? Yeah, no, I have a dog. Okay. I mean, I suppose we should probably start from the very beginning because it's a really long journey.
Okay, yeah, tell us how babies come.
It's a really long journey. It's a really long journey that goes really fast, if that makes sense.
No, I've never had a kid, so yeah, you have to tell me.
Yeah.
At least I hope not.
So, like, I feel that, you know, guys are a little bit like whatever until the baby comes. That's what I learned. So let's go through the things that I've learned becoming a dad.
Yeah.
We're changing our barbell club to dad bod barbell club now, though.
Yeah, so what is it like? Obviously, you moved up to the 77-kilo category. Is that due to having a kid? By, like,
1 kilo?
Yeah, so, but is that due to having a kid? Like, I also noticed that your abs have disappeared.
Oh, my God. No, they're there when I want them to be. So you find out you're having a child. Cool. Like, that's great. Excellent. You know, we're never as excited as the ladies are.
You weren't as excited as Jale was when you found out?
I don't think so. Maybe. Like, I was. But I just feel like, you know, they're just prepared.
Yeah.
They're prepared. That is in their nature.
Like, what, you mean prepared. Like their body tells them? Like, you know, like what?
They start doing things that, like, you know, they're ready to go. Yeah. Anyway, so let's not harp on too much about that part. Then the child comes and you just... That's when dad kicks in. Dad kicks in. When I first saw him, that's when I was like, okay, like, I already love this kid more than anything in the world. Just like that. Yeah.
When
he came out. When he was
When he came out, okay.
Yes. Right. When he was here breathing, crying.
You saw him?
Yeah, and then it was like instantly you were just like, I don't know, your world changes.
Okay.
I know it sounds cliche, but...
No, tell me what was the feeling like, though?
I can't even explain it. Just love this thing more than, like, anything, and just everything changes. Like, you want to work harder for it. You want to just create the world for this child.
So your eyes locked across the room.
Yeah.
And you were like, I love you. Kind of. Kai was like, eh!
Yeah, he screamed a lot. He definitely needed a bath. And, so that happens.
Yeah.
And
it was instantaneous.
Yeah, instantaneous. Then the first few months, he's like pretty much a potato, and there's not really a whole lot you can do as a dad. They just want mum. We don't have what they need at all,
which is
like
food. Milk.
Yeah, we're not as cuddly. Actually, like, that's still like that. But anyway, so there's not a whole lot you can do.
Yeah. Oh, look who it is. It's Kush.
Look who just walked in the door.
Kush has just walked in the door. Oh, go downstairs and get some food.
There's food?
Yeah.
Do you guys want anything?
No, I'm good. No. Just go ask my mom. I think she's home. So, guys, we are obviously filming this podcast at my parents' house.
Yep.
Because it's close to everyone.
Yeah.
But, sorry.
Yeah, so, there's not a whole lot you can do. But, like, we're still... We don't get a whole lot of sleep. So dealing with that, you know, and I run a business, my dad, husband, you know, house. It does get tough. I think the first thing that happens is you adapt. And the first thing that you need to do is adapt to operating on less sleep.
Yeah, so how much sleep did you get before you had Kai?
Oh, like... 9 hours, 8 hours.
So a decent amount. For someone that does have to wake up pretty early.
Yeah, I'd go to bed pretty early, to be honest, like before. But now, sometimes lucky to get 5 hours sleep.
Wow. So it's a big difference.
Yeah, and it's always broken sleep. There's no like...
And does that throw you off as well?
Yeah, of course. There isn't a night where... Well, I mean, some nights he'll sleep right through, but that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
But in saying that as well, like, he's a good sleeper, and that's a good sleeper. Like, I've heard of some nightmare stories.
So the problem isn't so much that you're not getting enough sleep. It's very broken up, right?
Yeah, broken sleep. There's no such thing as a sleep in. So you have one late, reckless night, you don't recover, because then the next four nights you're still getting woken up early and broken sleep, right? That was the first thing that I had to deal with and adapt to. And then dividing time, right? So I can't just be, you know, out with, you know, you can't be just out with your mates all the time anymore, or training sometimes will suffer sometimes. Yeah, like, you got stuff to do. You're a dad now, and you can't prioritize training.
is it, like, so obviously the recovery is a big deal. Have you noticed, like, a significant difference in your, I guess, maximum recoverable volume that you can do in training? Or you can still recover from it. It's more that you just, like, feel run down.
Yeah, so I'll be really good for a couple of weeks, and I'll be absolutely flying, and then, yeah, I'll go through a week where I'm just, like, I'm trash, like.
And do you have to change? Because obviously you program for yourself. So do you have to change your programming to reflect?
Yeah, I usually feel it. I change my programming up if I need to. Like last week I did. But, you know, in saying that, like, I'm still seeing gains in my training.
Yeah. Well, you just comp PB.
Still seeing PBs.
Once last week and then once this week.
Yeah. So I think I'm managing it really well. Yeah, I definitely think I'm managing it really well. So, like, it just comes down to prioritizing, planning, and just being on top of everything, 100%, like you have to be, yeah. But I can,
what about eating? Do you struggle with eating with having Chiron? I know obviously he's still on, he's on solids now,
Of course, yeah, he's just like, he sees what we eat now.
Look, I'm not a dad, I've never been around kids, so I don't know, yeah, he's what we but eat. Like, you know, do you have to cook like different food for him compared to what you guys eat?
It's pretty much what we eat. Yeah, okay. Breakfast, lunch, everything like that. We feed him healthy as well.
Because Jale is a really... So Jale is your wife.
Yep.
So shout out Jale.
Hello.
I love Jale.
Yes. Same.
She's awesome, yeah, obviously. but she's actually a brilliant cook as well.
Amazing cook. Mm. The best cook.
I can see why why the dad bod's really coming along. It's more so to do with her cooking than it is to do with Kai, right?
Maybe.
So we can blame her for that. Maybe. Even her paleo treats, they're just so good. That the problem isn't a matter of quality, it's quantity.
Yeah.
If you
100%.
Eat a full box of those, you're probably still going to get fat. Going to get
fat. Definitely. So, yeah, there has to be, has had to be some shifts in training. I think what I did for you, you just got to work harder for it. You got to want it. I can see why, if someone had just like a lazy 9-to-5 job, it could definitely suffer even worse. 100%.
Their job could suffer, or their training.
Yeah, their training. They'd probably have to make a lot more changes than I would have to make. I mean, I, and even if I was like earlier in my business, but I've, allocated time where I train and I don't book in those time slots. That's my training time.
Yeah.
But because I don't believe that everything has to go on hold because you become a dad.
Yeah.
You just need to be smarter in what you do.
Mm.
So that's one of the things I did. And that's really important. Like just organizing your time as much as possible.
Yeah. I guess the big question then is, if you could go back in time, would you change anything?
No, never.
Well, that's it there, guys.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't change a thing.
Awesome. I don't know if there was anything else we did need to talk about after that.
No.
I just wanted to find out because obviously I don't have kids. So for me, it's very hard to empathize or even talk with some of my clients who do have kids that, have busy lives.
So but just if you come across a dad or mom, more so mom, because shout out to moms. They definitely have the raw end of the stick. Like it's that's tough work. Like, especially if you have a boy, they tend to cling on to the ladies more, the mum. So when he's tired, sick, cranky, it's mum. Like, it doesn't matter what she's trying to do. He doesn't care. So if you come across a mum or dad who's tired and angry and probably just pissed you off, have a little bit of sympathy. Because they probably slept for 3 hours last night.
That's really good advice. And, maybe they're not going to train well that day. Maybe they're not going to train well that week.
Mm.
But the point is that they took their time to come out and be there.
Yep.
And, that's a big step for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's something I've learned for, over time. The other thing, which is, we were kind of just talking about this at the start of the podcast, just for fun, but it's okay to be shitty at weightlifting.
No,
it is. No, it is. Like, let's actually be honest. Like, we were joking about it. But, weightlifting doesn't have to be
your fucking life. There's a stigma, right? So, I've brought this up with people before. Okay. You decide with your mates that you want to go and play soccer. You will join a crappy league and you'll go play soccer, won't you?
Yeah.
And you'll just have fun. There's this stigma, though, that people seem to think that you can't do that with weightlifting. Like, if you actually enjoy lifting a barbell over your head, like, that doesn't mean you need to be really good at it to jump into a competition. Just like you can jump into a netball game for fun and join a little, like, you know, crappy league.
Yeah.
And still have fun. It doesn't mean that you can't do that with weightlifting.
And obviously, there are
some... You don't even have to compete. Safety
concerns and stuff. So you do want to make sure your technique is somewhat sound, that you're not going to kill yourself.
Look, when I mean crappy, I don't mean, like, crappy technique. I mean, like, you don't need to be qualifying for nationals to be competing in weightlifting.
100%.
You don't need to be trying to qualify for anything. Like one thing that I explained to all of my lifters, you know, after a competition, did you have fun? I've never ever heard them say, this was crap. Like, well, unless you bomb out, that might be crap, but we can control that, kind of.
Can you, Yannick?
Yeah, definitely. no, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, yeah. So if you would jump in any other sport for fun, why wouldn't you jump in for weightlifting fun if that's what you enjoy doing? And I think that's something that both our clubs are doing, bringing people into weightlifting that aren't necessarily trying to go to the Olympics. They just want to have fun in a sport that they enjoy.
Well, I've said it, like I was talking to Linda about this the other day as well, and really I should interview Linda on the podcast. So I'm coming for you,
Linda.
but yeah, like I set out to make weightlifting, you know, accessible to the general populace.
Yeah,
like I'm not trying to build the next Olympian. You know what? Over time, part of our, you know, driving participation, we might have an Olympian come through our doors.
Maybe.
But they'll be, you know, a young kid, and when they get good, you know, they might feel like they might find that we don't have the capability to get them where they're going, and you know, we'll refer on. But right now, what we're doing is we're driving from the grassroots level.
Yeah, look, I think any coach can facilitate a world-class athlete. It just might need to make changes. Certain changes in equipment maybe might be one thing. Changes in programming, you might just need to spend a little bit of extra time with them in their programming.
Yeah.
If they're a world-class athlete, it doesn't mean you need to physically spend time with them. They're usually pretty driven. You don't get that far unless you're driven. You just might need to make some simple changes. Well, some changes, not necessarily simple. Some changes to their programming, monitoring their recovery, their eating, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, there's a few coaches out there. Lindsay.
Yeah.
I think Lindsay's one. He's definitely got one or two world-class athletes on his hands.
He's got a couple.
But he's also facilitating a place where he's getting young kids into weightlifting and learning weightlifting. Well, and people that just do it for fun.
If there was ever a club to sort of, like, learn from in our sort of, like, sphere, I think Lindsay's would be. So I really look forward to catching up with him in 2 weekends' time at there's a coaching conference.
Yep. So. Yeah, so that'd be cool. Hi, Lindsay.
Yeah, I actually interviewed him on the podcast the other week.
Cool.
So his episode will probably play after this one or a few weeks' time.
What did you talk about?
Oh, Lindsay stuff.
Yeah, cool. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know, weightlifting probably. Nice.
Yeah,
because that's what this podcast is about.
Wait, what? This is what it's about?
All right, guys, where can they find Shred Fitness and Yannick?
Shred Fitness on Facebooks.
Yeah, Facebooks.
_ Shred Fitness _ on the Instagrams. And Blacktown, Sunny Holt Road. Googles us.
Yeah.
You will find us.
Guys, you can find Raw Barbell Club at Raw Barbell Club on all of our social medias. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, Musical.ly. Is there any other social medias?
I don't think so. We're not as social medias as you are.
We're everywhere.
I'm a dad. I'm supposed to be outdated.
guys, we are producing new content every day, so check us out. The only place that you will not find us is probably Google Maps.
Tinder. Because
it's our wrong address, as yep. Yannick pointed out.
Yeah.
But you can find us if you go to our right address, which is 10/62 Argyle Street, South Windsor.
Bye.
Bye. Supersonic.